Now, Steen Agro made a big impact with his first full-length feature film, the British-Czech black comedy Shut Up and Shoot Me, in which Czech actors Karel Rodin and Anna Geislerová had star roles. Chris Johnstone spoke with him when he came to the studio for this week's One-on-One.
Steen Agro's black comedy debut feature film won critical acclaim and did respectably at the box office. Fast forward 5 years and now living in Prague, he's seeking to build on that first feature success. When he dropped in on us recently, I asked him how difficult the finances for that first film were.
It was extremely low budget. I can't get into figures because I wasn't the accountant either. But I think we're talking 150,000 for the actual shoot. There was more money for post. 150,000, that's sterling, and the exchange rate's changed somewhat. But at the time, I think it was 3 million crowns, something like that. Maybe a bit more. But that wasn't so bad. We had a very short prep time, and that was more difficult. Going into sets, walking into sets, and not having seen them before, and then having to shoot a feature film was quite tricky. But thankfully, when I was starting off as a director, I did a lot of quite low-budget commercials with ridiculous, crazy deadlines and equally ridiculous, crazy clients and who kept changing things. So I was a little bit... I was used to the changes. I was used to adapting quickly. So that put... I think at the time I hated it. I hated doing those kind of commercials, but it's a great way to learn.
Presumably with that sort of budget, a lot of the shots had to be, you had to get them right first time. Was that sort of the pressure?
I think we started off doing quite high ratio, and ratio by that I mean the amount of takes we did to the amount of takes or the footage that we'd use. So it was quite high ratio. I think it was probably 1 to 15 or something. So for instance, for every minute of screen time, I was shooting 15, 20 minutes of stock. And we calculated we would probably be double the amount of footage by the end if I'd have carried on like that. The producer came over and had a quiet word with me, and at one point was asking me to do it one-to-one, which was basically mean shoot only what I needed. And I said, well, that's not going to work, because what happens if there's a scratch on the negative? But yes, it did mean that you have to cut your cloth rather close to the edge to make it fit. But... you know, it's first feature. I think with first features, the great and the good give you a little bit of rope to hang yourself with, and hopefully, if you survive that and still have a desire to go through the mill again, you can make another one. Which, you know, touch wood, I'm going to.
And you lined up some quite big Czech film names for this film. How did that come about?
Again, I can't take credit for that. That was down to the production company over here, who was working with a British production company. That was David Rauch, who was running UFO Films. They're the local on the ground. They were the fixers. They were the ones making things happen. And we were trying to cast the lead, the Czech lead, that is. And they made some suggestions. And I wasn't sure. I didn't even know these people. At the time, I was quite green about the Czech film industry. And I was taking a tram into the office, and there was a poster for a stage play with Karel Rudin in, and being silly foreigner, didn't realise his significance over here. I'd seen him in 15 minutes, which I adored. I thought he was the best thing. I thought he blew Robert De Niro off the screen. So I came to the office and said, what about Karel Rudin? And everybody looked at me and said, are you crazy? And David went, I know him, I can ask him. So he gave him the script. I saw him for a meeting in the theatre lobby after he'd finished a performance, and I was clever enough to keep my gob shut, because he was suggesting some things that I hadn't even noticed about the script. But when he said, oh, it's like this, it's like this, it's like this, I went, yeah, that was what I meant. Yeah, you got it. So I think he liked the space that he was given, and he liked the way that the script was heading, even though that wasn't my intention to begin with. And he said yes. Anya, I have to be honest with you, I have no idea how she got on board. David said, Anya's going to do it. And I was like, great. And I met her when we were trying on the fur coats. I remember I had never talked to her before. I'd seen her a few times out and about, but I'd never talked to her. And I said, oh, well, I'll drive with Anya. We'll go in the same car. And we got in the car. And it was a bit, I'd been a bit nervous. I didn't know what to say. And we chatted a little bit. Her English is excellent. And she said, I'm really looking forward to doing an English language film. And I didn't have the heart to tell her that she didn't have one word in English during the thing. And it wasn't until we shot, and when we shot, she looked at me and she said, there's no English in this, is there? I said, I'm sorry, no, there's not. But anyway, she was fine about it. I'd love to do a film with her where she gets to speak English because her English is good enough.
And how did the film actually turn out, sort of box office-wise? Was it a success or critical success? Or how did it sort of pan out?
That's a big old question. I think it did okay, box office-wise, in this country. We were in a different time then, a different sort of audience. You could expect a different sort of audience. So I think 40, 50,000 people. I don't know the figures exactly. I don't want to get into those. It's maybe less, maybe more. I really couldn't tell you which. I'm satisfied with. For an English language film, ostensibly a foreign film in this country, albeit with good stars. Critically, I think we did excellently. I was a little shocked by how it was received over here. Very well, in fact. Pleased, of course. Pleased, shocked. And then we won some prizes. We won a prize in the States for a big prize in the States, and we won something in France, and we won a small prize in Wales in the International Film Festival in Wales as well. So I think it went down great. And I managed to spend an entire year just trotting around film festivals, which was great fun. And I'd never done that before. And when you go to a film festival, you're surrounded by people who love films. So it's always an easy audience. So it's always very gratifying. And it sort of recharges your battery after the real slog of trying to get something on screen. It's a nice pick-me-up.
Apart from the film festivals, did it lead to anything more concrete?
Well, I think there was a lot of irons in a lot of fires, and they may well have been there anyway. But it's easier to approach a financier when you've got a film under your belt. If you haven't done something, then they think, well, this guy's going to be in charge of a lot of money. Can he do it? Has he, you know, will he freeze? What's going to happen? When you say, well, I've already done a film, instantly you get put in a different pigeonhole. Whether the film's any good or not, that happens. So I think it definitely was a step onto other things. And more than anything, people just consider you differently. They just look at you differently. They think, okay, the guy's made a film and it had a beginning, middle and end and it was on the cinema. So, well, he must be able to do something. The concrete things on the back of that are much more difficult to predict, but yeah, I think it helped.
Since then, you moved from Britain to the Czech Republic. What were the reasons behind that?
Well, apart from personal ones, and which are many and varied, my wife's Czech. I've got two kids, and their grandparents live here, and my grandparents, when I was growing up, lived in Denmark, my mother's side, and Sicily, my father's side, and I really didn't get to see them that much, and I really didn't want that for my kids. It would be nice for them to. That was one thing. Second thing is when the city itself. I remember when I was editing, because I cut here with a Czech editor, Mikhail Lansky, who I can't thank enough. Prague, I remember walking to the edit suite across the bridge, across the river. The sun was coming. It's just a beautiful, romantic city. And it's small enough to get around. So I think the city itself it was a big attraction. Plus also in the Czech industry, I had much more of an established name, believe it or not. The British film industry is so fragmented. I'm originally from Manchester, and there's only a very small outpost of struggling filmmakers there. And there's not enough money. There's not enough projects. And I think I would have made probably three or four low-budget ones. Plus, even just the film industry here, and I don't mean the creators, I mean the crews, they work so much with American and British productions, or they used to. That kind of went away a little bit, and but he's now making a resurgence. And plus, I started shooting commercials here, and I'm having a greater and greater success as the commercial industry gets back on its feet.
And feature films, you still got some? There's some plans, some scripts, or that are sort of written somewhere in a drawer somewhere that's you're ready to take out.
Yeah, I have an unenviable talent for coming up with lots of ideas and never seeing them through. So there's probably about 5 drawers of ideas. I do force myself sometimes to write something, and I've got projects with several different collaborators. I've got probably the principal one is a thriller set in South America. There's some other projects. There's I'm trying to do a Czech-based project, which is a road movie. Then there's some other bigger things that I'm trying to push through the States, which maybe I'll be in as a capacity only as a writer. And I'm working with a British guy as well on a script. Again, a thriller, more of a psychological thriller. So lots of things.